And sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Jonah Haskell in Washington filling in for Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
We begin today with football, specifically Premier League football. The Premier League season begins this Saturday, August 8th at Old Trafford, where Louis van Gaal's Manchester United take on Tottenham Hotspur in the opening match. Here in the studio with me are VOA soccer buffs Downtown Brown and Tef. And we're going to be giving you a preview of the big stories in English football this year. Thanks for joining me, guys. We might as well start off with Manchester United, the team that's opening the season this year. Man U's had a rough couple years. The David Moyes experiment was a disaster 2 years ago. And last year, Van Gaal did better, but fourth place isn't quite what Manchester United fans are looking for. So now that, you know, Falcao and Di Maria weren't a great success, now they're gone. They brought in a couple new guys. Do you think this is the year Man U gets back on track?
No.
Absolutely. I mean, again, every year it's a different story, but this time we have a new jersey from Adidas. We have a whole, Adidas teams always do good. But to be honest, we have Memphis, probably the most exciting young player in the world right now, at 21 years old, who's at Old Trafford. You know, we signed Schweinsteiger on the other side, like somebody who's really old, but so experienced, World Cup winner, and everyone in between. A good right back, finally. Valencia's not going to have to run down, the right flank every time by himself.
Which is a good thing.
And then an Italian defender, that always says a lot.
I think your team gets older and older each season.
Not really. You'd be surprised. I mean, we have, I'll say probably. Yeah, I mean, there's a good balance of, you know, home. First of all, I think in between Arsenal and United, maybe Liverpool, they have the best homegrown players number.
Very true.
Yeah, a lot of teams City are struggling to fill those spots up, and they're buying every British player that they can, you know, buy. And that's why Delf and Sterling, they cost them so much, even though they're not. I mean, Sterling might be okay, but Delf is not a proven talent. Things like that. But I think United will be on track this year.
You really think so?
Better than last year.
Like, you sound so confident in it.
Absolutely.
I feel so sorry because all the people are listening to us are just like, I can't believe he's saying Manchester United is so confident that they're going to be doing
really well
this year.
Even Arsenal came back. That's what I was saying. 10 years later, Arsenal's here. I think
that's
United will take less than that. Maybe 2 years is enough. But Van Gaal tried to buy a few players last year. Now he's completely gone overboard and bought even more players. So he has his own team. He has no excuse. That's what I will say. At the end of the season, he should have a trophy or have a top three finish easily. So, some sort of trophy.
With these new players now, do you think he'll stick with his possession crazy sort of tactics?
He's not going to change. I mean, he's a stubborn guy, but he did say he's going to play a 4-3-3 as opposed to the 3-5-2 that he wanted to play last year. So he has all the defenders he wants. He even has a problem in defense now because I think Smalling and Jones have to fight for the central midfield position. So he has options now. Up front, he needs one more player, and I think Pedro might be on his way over as we speak. So if we get him before the end of the day, great. If not, he'll be in for the second or, you know, third games.
To all the Manchester United fans, you guys are going to finish in fifth place.
Ooh, wow.
This is going to be recorded, therefore.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Eat those words.
So you're telling me Arsenal is not going to do better than Manchester United this year?
I mean,
okay, let's talk about Arsenal now. What do you think, Downtown? Arsenal?
Arsenal is going to probably finish in number one or two position. I think Manchester City, they did assign a lot of players, but Arsenal knew how to fix. They, coming off of big injuries, Giroud is healthy now. He missed about like 5-6 games.
You're not going to say Giroud and talk about Arsenal. I'm sorry. I mean, if you're, here's the thing. I will say this is the strongest Arsenal team I've seen in the past 12 years.
Okay.
But Giroud's not the strongest point.
No, I'm saying all of our injuries, now they're actually healthy now, and we should start off amazingly hot. Ozil, he missed big games because he had MCL surgery. Theo Walcott was injured. Jack Wilshere was injured, and they came
he's
back.
He's injured again, Jack Wilshere.
That's what
he's hurt. Yeah.
But he should be back, though. He should be back within, like, maybe week seven. Yeah, so it's not that big of a loss, though.
I mean, one thing I've liked from Arsenal is the fact that every year now they've bought one player. I still think they need to do more, to do better. Like, so first time they bought Ozil, and then they bought Sanchez, and now they bought Peter Cech. On the old side, but for a goalie, he's still young.
I mean, he's still in his prime, technically. Exactly. He's fading down, you know, I guess.
If it wasn't for Courtois, he'd still be a starter on any team.
Yeah.
And Arsenal's had a pretty shaky defense the last couple of years, so putting sort of a veteran keeper between the posts could do really good things for them.
Really, they have rotating keepers, you know, Ospina comes in, and then, what's the name, Chesney, which is always a mess.
it's like a hit or miss. You can have an amazing game, or you can just be
And you can't afford that when you're trying to win titles or trophies.
So,
I mean, again, strongest Arsenal team we've seen in the past 12 years. But then again, I don't think another FA Cup is going to mean anything.
I'm sorry. Do you see the jersey I'm wearing today? It's a Theo Walcott jersey. I don't know if you noticed that number 7.
By the way, let's talk about number 7. Just to go back to Man U, number 7 is now open. Di Maria is gone. The snake has left.
Gone to PSG.
He's gone to PSG. So I think Memphis might get that number 7. And he actually might deliver the next Cristiano.
There's a rumor out that Benzema might get signed to Arsenal.
That would be interesting.
It's a rumor. It's a rumor. I'm just saying.
I would say that you guys are title contenders when that happens.
Putting
right now,
Benzema up front with Sanchez, that would be
absolutely.
That would be quite the attack.
and then you already had Ozil that played with him. That's perfect chemistry right there.
And they're coming from the same league. So like you said, the La Liga, they played together, against each other, actually.
Yeah,
but Sanchez, and that would be, I'm a big fan of Benzema. I'm a huge fan. I would be scared. And of course, Wenger loves his French-speaking players. So.
Right.
French national team.
Like, it's like starting five. Yep.
Arsenal is the French B team, basically.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, we got a defender that's French. Yep. Our right wing is French. Our attacker. I'm like, my goodness, that's too much for me.
French national team. Cool.
Okay, so let's move on now to Chelsea. They ran away with the league last year. Yeah, everyone says they were boring, but they were on top of the table wire to wire. No one even came close except for Man City for a little bit. Towards the end, they have Hazard, they have Courtois between the posts. Cesc Fabregas and Diego Costa have some sort of telepathic connection between the two of them. It's crazy. And this year, you know, they just added Falcao. So are they just going to be better this year?
I've seen Falcao last year. I mean, again, preseason
He was injured, though.
But then you have a preseason that you can look at. He scored 2 penalties. Even Copa America, he was horrible. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can't appreciate him anymore because he's gone. But I used every week in, week out last year, I thought Falcao was going to deliver for Manchester United.
But the thing is, he needs to go to a team where, when he was on Atletico, he was the main guy.
But he will not be the main guy at Chelsea.
I mean,
well, he will be starting this season because Costa is out because of his hamstring for at least the first couple of games.
So then he could actually put a stamp down.
Sure. One thing, again, he has 2 things working for him. Last year, United could not pass the ball from midfield to the people up front. Even Van Persie looked horrible by the end of the season because, you know, he's not getting any balls being fed to him. They were playing side to side and things like that. So maybe he'll get better service, but if preseason is an indication, Chelsea have had a very... Here's the thing. Coming in last year, you knew Chelsea was going to win it. This year, it's a little less confirmed. That's what I'll say. Because, you know...
Because other teams are better or because Chelsea's going to regress?
No, because the way how Chelsea plays with, like, as soon as they score, they just relax. They just play strictly defense.
It's hard to score
on them because once they're up, they're up. And it's hard to beat them when they're up. Mm. And it's hard to actually have a comeback.
Unless you're PSG in the in the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
The player you sold scores on you.
Yeah.
But I mean, Chelsea is always a strong team, of course. They're still the favorites. Yeah. But I think just a little less so than they were last year.
But the only thing I'm really upset about is Chelsea is the best in England. How come we're still doing terrible? Or how come Chelsea's still doing terrible in the UEFA Cup? They still get knocked out first round. That's just saying so much.
Again, and this is the test for Mourinho as well. It's, can he win a league playing exciting football against big teams? He can do it against small teams. I've always given him that. Well, second time around, he's done it. In the past, he was playing boring against all teams. Now he can play exciting because he has Hazard and Willian up front. They're exciting players. So he lets them go wild, but he does not allow them to do the same thing against big teams. And that's hurt him a lot against big teams.
And I was actually really happy this past Saturday or Sunday where Arsenal beat Chelsea 1-0.
Your first trophy, of course. You count that.
I'll take that community shield. I'll take that community shield. Okay?
They call that a domestic double. Carling Cup and FA Cup. Community shield.
Touche. Touche.
Oh, I guess.
Okay, well, we talked about one Manchester team. The other Manchester team, Man City, spent a lot of money this summer. They most expensive English player ever, Raheem Sterling, coming into play for them. Last year was probably pretty frustrating for them, just spending the entire year playing well, but not even really getting close to Chelsea. So, you know, after all this money they spent, is that going to be enough? Are they going to be maybe the team that challenges Chelsea?
City. They've spent a lot.
Yeah. I mean, City always has, like, good players on the team, but they just never can produce to, like, where they need to be.
And they're old now. That's the problem. I think that's their biggest problem, because they have the FIFA, the UEFA, like, the regulation, so they don't have to spend a lot of money. But at the same time, now they just got away with signing Sterling and a couple of players. But they have such an old team that in order for them to replace all these old players, they'd have to spend so much more than they just did. Right? That's why they signed Sterling. That's why they signed Delph. They're homegrown players. They satisfy the six players minimum on the field. But Arsenal is a bigger threat than City this year.
Oh, yeah. We already knew that. We knew that last year.
It didn't show last year.
If we just had a better keeper or just like a couple of bad plays that we did, you know, that turned into goals, I wish we could just take those back. And obviously, we'd have finished above City. Of course, it's City.
I hate to beat on Arsenal, but the biggest problem you had was you had lost the winning mentality for 10 years. It's hard to get it back.
Okay, so Man City, not a threat to win. Or not as much of a threat.
No, I don't think so.
To be honest, we can go like this. I think Manchester City will probably finish fourth. It'll probably be a tie between you and Liverpool and Man City. Like Manchester United, City, and Liverpool.
He brought up Liverpool. Let's talk about Liverpool. Liverpool brought in a lot of new players. Yeah, Christian Benteke, James Milner, Roberto Firmino.
That's a signing.
They did lose Roberto Steven Gerrard, so it's a team that's going through a period of transition. Is that going to work out for them? Are they going to come through this without any issues? Or
because Firmino, he just came to English Premier, so it's going to be a little bit difficult, like transition for him to actually play the way he was playing on his last team he was playing for. So he was an all-star. He did it. We talked about this the other day. He did like a shot, and he wasn't even looking at the goal. Like he just did like a no
skills.
Look. He did like a no look goal. I'm like, yeah,
he's
goodness.
Young. I mean, Brazilians can be a hit or a miss in the Premier League. That's what I mean. Yeah. You have the Williams, and then you have the Cleversons a long time ago.
Or it could be a gym that you know just turns out.
Coutinho
to be...
turned out very well for Liverpool. But again, I don't think.
Yeah, and Firmino will be playing next to Coutinho.
Exactly.
So they might have a good partnership.
Yep. That'll be interesting to see. Gerrard is not a big loss. Not because I don't like him, but because he slips a lot.
I'm glad we all can agree on this.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, here's the thing. I think when Arsenal first lost Henri, I thought it was actually good for them. That didn't prove right, but because a lot of times when you have a lot of young players on the team, they tend to look up to one person, and you know it's almost like they don't break out of their shells because the lead, they're always looking up to Gerrard doing this. And I think Rodgers did a good job of slowly taking him out last year. Now he's gone, and each person can actually fight to become the leaders on that field, which means they'll probably do better. And Sterling out of the way, again, it's a huge loss. That's what Liverpool did wrong last year. They sold Suarez, a big player. They went down. Yeah, and they bought like 10 average players. They're doing the same thing
and
now.
And supposedly Mario Balotelli is actually going to go to MLS, I think.
I mean, if he can score there.
Yeah, I mean, apparently because he's having a drought. And
yeah. Again, I didn't. It was bad. A good deal because he was so cheap when they bought him. But it ended up being an expensive buy compared to what he delivered in the end. So it's. But I mean, Liverpool, I think they're better off buying big names in the future. But we'll see what Rodgers does this year, because I think this is last year. If he doesn't win anything, I think they're firing him.
He did last year after they lost the final game of the season 6-1 to Stoke. He said, "I'll leave if you want me to leave." I guess they kept him around.
Yeah. That was embarrassing.
I think on Saturday they're playing on Sunday they're playing at Stoke to start their season again. So
I mean, here's the thing: we have to talk about Benteke when we talk about Liverpool now, because he will get them those annoying team wins. Like, you know, when they're playing like a team that they were supposed to be, but then they lose.
And he's very aggressive. He'll get them at least a pointer. Very aggressive.
He's physically gigantic.
Yeah.
But again, Benteke is a great signing for Liverpool.
Yeah, I think so too.
So Liverpool probably better than sixth next year.
I mean, because it was so embarrassing how they went out with Gerrard, and that was his last season actually for Liverpool, losing to Stoke City 6-1. Come on, if anything, send him off in like a factual manner, because they lost home. when it was the last home game, he lost, and then this is his away game, and he lost. And I'm like, come on.
And he got he got the red card in like after a second against Man U. It wasn't a good way to leave.
Mic drop.
Exactly. Please drop. Yeah, the guys. Yeah, but I think Liverpool really needs to step up because they've become like a mid-table team now. They're fighting with Tottenham and Everton. They're not even. I mean, of course, 2 years ago they were up there, and that's what a lot of people gave hope. But you have to understand that's like the only time they finished top four in like 10 years.
Wait, so what do you think about Tottenham this year? Even with Harry Kane coming out.
I don't think Harry Kane is going to stay there.
He came like a big status. Like, he started small, and then he went like golden boy in like three games. And I'm like, and then he went golden boy on us, like scoring a hat trick on us. And I was like, who is Harry Kane?
And then he didn't have a single touch against Manchester United. That's what happened.
But, you had to bring that one in.
Of course.
Okay. We're second in the league with goals, though, so impressive.
Yeah, at 21. And he's a British player. So,
which is,
so he's going to be very expensive to take away from Tottenham. Yeah, Gareth Bale, same thing. You can't, when you're a team like Everton or, you know, even Liverpool now, you can't keep your best players, it seems, for more than like a season or two if they do well. So I think Harry Kane is going to go to one of the top four or leave the country.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of teams would benefit from having a person who's homegrown. So I think he's going to stay in England, but it's going to be like one of the record signings in England. He's going to beat Sterling's price, I believe.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's a bold move. Yeah,
I mean, like I think so much confidence. We'll have to see that he can replicate the kind of season that he had last year again.
Exactly. Yeah, because I mean, now he's going to be a marked man. That's what it is. Yeah. But then he had his best form against Arsenal and Chelsea, and that's the crazy part. Yeah.
Okay. It's just like saying someone who just came into the league, they don't have any video of him. They just know the name, like, oh, he can score goals. But now they actually done the research, what his movements are.
Sure.
I think it'll probably be a little bit more difficult for him to score. Yeah. I think they'll probably make him more of into a passer at like right before he scores than actually he's like the main scorer.
But he's only 21. That's what
he's
scary.
Only 21. Yeah, he's young.
He has
10
years on him. So he's young. He's gonna do something, whatever it might be. Yeah.
I mean, don't be surprised if he has like a really terrible season this year, but comes back next year like all out.
Yeah.
Because that's usually what happens. It's usually like a huge high climax, and then you come down.
Another player that has the same thing is Ings for Liverpool, which is be interesting to watch.
Ings was playing with
Burnley. He was playing for Burnley,
and
he was scoring almost the same amount of goals as Kane. So it would be nice to see him now play for a team that can
passes. You're right.
And again, I thought he was coming to Manchester.
See, I told you, every single player. I think you're just reading all this stuff on Google.com or something.
It has a lot to do with them being British players. United does not have any strikers around. You have to understand that. We have Wilson, who's a 19-year-old youth prospect, possibly. Januzaj, who's like 21 also. He's not even a striker. He's a winger.
Put Rooney up front.
But Rooney's the only one left now. You know,
but the thing is, I don't think they should have got rid of...
Falcao's out.
They should never got Van Persie if that was the situation.
I mean,
Now you need him as a striker.
Again, if Pedro comes in, then I don't think I would want any other striker. But everybody knows that we need a striker. Last year was the defense that was lacking, and surprisingly now it's the up front that's lacking. I'm okay with because defense does win championships, so I'm okay with that. But we still need one big major signing up front.
Yeah.
Because Rooney by himself gets injured, and what happens? We're going to be Chelsea 2 years ago when they lost.
The next Rooney will step up.
I hope so. I hope Wilson.
That's what happens.
So that might be Harry Kane.
Exactly. 45 mil, buy him.
All right, okay. I think we're running out of time. Real quick, predictions for the season. Right before we go, give me the top four in order.
Okay, so predictions for the top four. Tef, you want to take this one away? I know. I already know what you're gonna say.
No, I'm a very rational person.
He's gonna say Man U's number one.
Nope.
Say it now. You're smiling.
Here's what my prediction is. I'm going to say Chelsea with the repeat, possibly. This is not going to help, but Chelsea's going to win it. United's going to come in second. Arsenal third, Liverpool or City fourth. Or just one if you give me one wild card, one of these top fours is not going to be top four. So it's either going to be Tottenham coming into top four, or basically you're going to see one of these big teams not make it to the Champions League next year. That's my biggest prediction. What about you, Dan?
Arsenal number one, Chelsea number two. I'm going to say Manchester United number three.
The real Manchester.
Yeah. I'm looking right into your soul right now as I'm saying this, and they better finish number three. They better finish number three. And number four, I want to say Man City, but the likelihood of that happening, since they have so many new players, the chemistry is probably not going to work immediately, and which will probably hurt him in the long run. So I'm probably going to go with Tottenham at number four.
I think that's the only one you're going to get right is Tottenham at number four.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I actually agree with that. Yeah, I think Tottenham actually might get it number four
this year. I think they're going to be a sneaker this year.
We'll see.
Because,
we'll
I mean, they were like, what, sixth this past year?
Tottenham finished fifth.
Fifth, right?
Yeah.
Oh, then with Pochettino, they're going to, I think they're going to finish fourth.
Yeah, I think they figured out like the kinks so they know how to finish.
Wow, quite a prediction there from Downtown Brown. Thanks for joining me in the studio, guys, and I wish both of your teams a successful season. As I mentioned before, the Premier League season starts on Saturday, August 8th, when Louis van Gaal's Manchester United will open the season against last year's fifth-place finisher, Tottenham Hotspur. And then later on Saturday night, Eden Hazard and last year's champions Chelsea will begin their title defense against Swansea City. Chelsea's manager Jose Mourinho spoke recently about his team's readiness for the upcoming season.
No, we are where we can be. We have the same team, we have the same players. We had a good holiday because I thought a good holiday is important for the future of these players during the a long season they have in front of them. We decided for a short preseason, shorter than many other teams. So, you know, we are where we are, and Wednesday we have another match to play and for other players to get more minutes, and we will try to be in conditions to start.
We'll see if that idea of taking a short preseason works out. On Sunday, Christian Benteke and Liverpool will begin their campaign at Stoke City, while a newly repowered Arsenal will take on West Ham United. And finally on Monday, Yaya Toure and Manchester City look to begin their season on a good note against West Brom. At a press conference on Friday, City boss Manuel Pellegrini set the bar very high for his star-studded team.
Well, always for me, a good season in a big team is that you must win a title. You know, you cannot say that it was a very good season and you didn't win then nothing about it. But after that, I think also it's very important the way you win that title. Maybe for some reason you can win the title, and if I'm not happy in the way we play, for me, no, it's not a good season. That's why I repeat, for me, both things. First of all, win, because you must win titles. And the second thing is to play in the way I like this team must play.
It should be great to watch the Premier League all season long. So many stories, so many possibilities, and that's why I really do love soccer. And now I'd like to take a moment to thank Sule, my Voice of America engineer this afternoon. Kick it, Sule! Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin. We got the game on. This is for the world.
Now to Kazan, Russia, where the World Aquatic Championships are underway. Thursday was a busy day in the central Russian city, as five finals events took place on the competition's third-to-last day. The highly anticipated men's 100-meter freestyle final featured a photo finish as China's Ning Shidao, Australia's Cameron McAvoy, and Argentina's Federico Grabic all finished within 0.3 seconds of each other. Although McAvoy had the best time in the semifinals, he had to settle for silver as Jitao claimed yet another gold medal for China. Grabic came in third to earn the bronze, the first medal ever awarded to an Argentinian swimmer at the World Aquatic Championships. The men's 200-meter individual medley had no surprises, as American Ryan Lochte, who is the world record holder in the event, won his record fourth consecutive IM gold and 24th medal overall at the Worlds. Thiago Pereira of Brazil came in second, while Wang Shun of China took the bronze. The women's 200-meter butterfly event was anything but close, as Japan's Natsumi Hoshi touched the wall almost a full second before silver medalist Camille Adams. It is Japan's first gold medal in Kazan, and the first victory for any Japanese female in any swimming race in the World Aquatics Championships history. Zhang Yufei of China came in third, and although it was her time, and although her time was only good enough for bronze, Yufei, who is only 17, set a new junior world record, beating her own mark set earlier this month. The women's 50-meter backstroke yielded two more medals for the Chinese, as Fu Yuanhui took home the gold, and Lui Xiang settled for bronze. Finishing 0.15 seconds behind Yuanhui was Brazilian Etienne Medeiros, who earned the silver. And finally, in women's 4x20-meter freestyle relay, the United States were powered to a win by phenom Katie Ledecky, who has already won three golds and broken a world record in Kazan. Along with her teammates Missy Franklin, Leah Smith, and Katie McLaughlin, Katie and the United States cruised to a win by almost 3 seconds over the second-place Italians. The Chinese women took the bronze in the race. And that brings us now to the medal count, where China has a commanding lead. With 32 medals overall and 14 golds, the Chinese have 5 more golds than the second challenger and 12 more medals overall. The second place country is the United States, who had a strong day yesterday and used it to pass Russia in the standings. The U.S. is now sitting on 20 total medals and 9 gold ones. Russia, in third, has the same number of golds as the U.S., but fewer overall with just 15. The World Aquatics Championships finish this Sunday, August 9th. Thank you for joining me on this extended 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Have a great weekend, Africa.